This is so unnecessary, Fox.
I don't come when you call.
I've controlled you since before you knew I existed.
Who's in control now?
Welcome back, everybody, to the X-Cast. The truth is in here. One last time. Well, almost one last time. We're in the middle of our Season 10 coverage of My Struggle 2, the season finale. We have arrived. I'm Tony Black, your host. And with me for this second look at My Struggle 2, I'm joined again by Tania Hernandez.
Hello again.
And you're coping very well with this, as you said before, this emotional time. As
You're helping me cope, that's for sure. It's been rough the last few hours.
it's been a rough one. This is close to just seeing the episode, really. And of course, this is the end, as I said at the end of the last episode, and that was a nice little wink to the how they changed the credit sequence, where it normally says the truth is out there just before we get created by Chris Carter. This time it was this is the end, and that was quite a sobering thing to say, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, the end of humanity. The end of the show, the end of my sanity, because the show is going to drive me nuts.
If you had an episode, it wouldn't be called My Struggle, it would be called My Sanity.
Yes.
I think, there you go.
Yes. Yes, pretty much.
Yeah. I think it was a deliberate little tease that, obviously, it links to the idea that this is the end of the road for the world, you know, it's tying into that. But I think that they're very deliberately teasing us because, you know, the show's done very well in ratings across the world. We've been saying this in previous episodes. Yeah. Today, Chris Carter has said that, you know, Fox have pretty much turned around and said, we want more. And that as long as everyone can align their schedules, with Gillian being probably the most difficult.
Gillian being the most difficult. Although she did tweet, I don't know if you saw it, she did tweet, I guess she tweeted a picture of her chair. When she was filming, and there was a little caterpillar on it, and she goes, that's the end of this. Scully has turned from turned into a caterpillar, and she'll turn into a butterfly. And then at the end of the tweet, she wrote, until next time, with a question mark. And everybody's like, there better be a next time. So I do appreciate that she did tease that. Mm. You know, I know she wasn't sure, but I'm sure they will try to convince her to come back in some form or fashion and try to get her back, because you can't just leave the show the way it did and not have her there.
Exactly. So, as we talked about the cliffhanger in the last episode, I think
they kind of left it that they could do it either way, but she has to be back.
I would suspect that conversations have already been had in the last few weeks, really, about everybody. And I think everyone will have turned around really and gone, well, it's done well. People are lapping it up. You know, let's do some more. And I think I'm hoping in the next few weeks or next couple of months, we might get an announcement that season 11 is a go, because they would more than likely film it in the summer. So for another like January airing. So they might as well repeat the trick. You know, it's done very well. There's no reason why they shouldn't just do this again at the start of 2017.
Yeah. If anybody is listening to this that works at Fox.
10 episodes.
Carter. 10 episodes. Please don't do 6 again.
Yeah.
10 episodes. 10. Please.
There you go. And please. But that, as we've said before, is the biggest sticking point with Gillian, because she has repeatedly said 6 is more than enough for me to be away from my kids and London and my other TV work.
Right.
So I think it's because she lives in England, it's more difficult for her to do it.
Yeah. Come on, guys. That's just. Give her a little bit more money, you know. Give her a little more love, and I think she could be convinced. I mean, I'm just saying that because, you know, that's how you bargain or whatever. But that's how I bargain now. I feel like she would be more interested in doing it because, like I said, she's been so engaging with the fans during this season. It seems like she's having fun with it. And I think we discussed this before, like, you know, she said in the past, like, she didn't really, she knew she was, you know, famous for this, but afterwards she kind of like wanted to distance herself from it. But I think she's, throughout her years, she's become really appreciative of it. And I think she's actually having fun with it this time around and with the fans, especially now that the way we can engage with each other and engage with the people that, you know, we watch on TV through social media and stuff. Like, I think she's kind of embraced it more than she has in the past. And she understands it now. Like, she understands the fandom now, that I think she would be willing to do it. I think they can convince her for 10.
I hope you're right, yeah.
I hope so.
I do. She's definitely rediscovered the love of it, which is great. So we'll have to wait and see, yeah. But today we're going to be talking about Mulder and his role in Maestro 2. And we will get to some listener feedback at the end, because we've got a few more people who've come in with some very interesting opinions. So Mulder then, in this episode, it's interesting because there's been certain bits of criticism I've seen on online a little bit about how he is sidelined here. And to some extent that's true. He's for the first half of the episode, he's very much Scully centric, and we don't really see him very much, do we? Because he's had a bit of a ruck in his a fight in his home, and then he's off tracking down the Smoking Man. Did you think it was a good idea to sideline Mulder in the final episode of the series?
Not necessarily, because he had the first episode for himself, where and Scully was kind of a little more less in there until the end. So, you know, at that point, you know, we already know he's found his wanting to believe again, you know, after he's not the skeptic anymore, you know, that we saw earlier in the season before the Were Monster episode. So he's, you know, he knows what he's going to do. Like, you know, he knows what he wants. So in terms of this whole outbreak, it makes sense that it was more, obviously it was Scully, you know, centric. So in that terms, it was a shame that he just like left without her. That I feel like that's the only one thing that I didn't like, is that, you know, okay, he's going to ignore Skinner, you know, he's going to ignore whoever called him. But I feel like at that point, from what he was going to do, trying to go after Smoking Man, like, I feel like he should have answered that call when she called him. You know what I mean?
I'm just laughing at the idea of maybe a supercut on YouTube where Mulder, all the times Mulder ignores Scully or walks off from her. Or does, you know, doesn't answer his phone. It just, so it fits in that sense, but I do know what
because
you mean.
Because I feel like, you know, like, at that point, he was going to Smoking Man, and I'm sure he knew one way or another he may have not come out of that meeting alive. You know what I mean? The way he was going for him. So I feel like at that point, maybe he should have spoken to her. That's the one thing I would say was kind of not true to him, I feel, at that point. But I mean, I get that, you know, why he wasn't in it so much. But he did have that critical interaction with Smoking Man, because he was going to be the only one that could really have that conversation with Smoking Man. You know what I mean?
That is true. That is true. Before we get to talking about that very quickly, you mentioned Skinner earlier. And, you know, we do see Skinner briefly in this episode. But I've got to say, overall, I really think Skinner's been shortchanged in this miniseries. Because we've hardly seen him. He's probably had about 5 or 6 scenes for the entire 5 episodes, 6 episodes.
No, I agree with that. Totally.
And I'm like, well, we need more Skinner, you know. And I was like, oh, he should have, you know, where was he involved? I'd much rather have had Scully with him, or him going and finding Mulder instead of Miller, you know.
Right.
Why wasn't Skinner doing that? Imagine Skinner and the Smoking Man are back together again. Like, in that scene, if Skinner had been the one coming in and, you know, confronting the Smoking Man, going, what the hell are you still doing alive? And all, that'd be
good. Yeah, that would have been awesome. Or like he would have gone with Miller to go find to go find Mulder. Totally. That I do agree with that. That you know, they didn't utilize Mitch Pileggi enough. But again, 6 episodes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, maybe if it was 10, we could have had one in there with him. You know, being in it.
It's like you're trying to make a point somewhere here, Tanya.
I don't know. Just things. These things just pop into my head. I totally agree with that. If, you know, they did. I love that Mitch Pileggi was back, but I am disappointed to see that he was in it so little and didn't really have that big of a presence outside of the first episode. You know what I mean? And even then, that was very minimal.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame. But, you know, at least he was around. At least he was in it in some respect.
Right.
But yeah, going back to the big conversation. Obviously, you know, this is a conversation that's been brewing between Mulder and Smoking Man for years. You know, the last time they were in a room together was The Truth. They've hardly had any scenes together since the start of season seven. So it's been a long, long time since these two have been in a room for a long time. And obviously, you know, here we get the revelation before we see the Smoking Man with Mulder that the Smoking Man was reconstituted when we get the scenes with him and Reyes.
Oh, yes.
And that's pretty... there's a very, in many respects in this episode, there's a very Hannibal Lecter vibe about him. I said in the first episode, he looks like Mason Verger from Hannibal, but in this case, it was very, when he's lying in that bed, you know, and he's all disfigured and everything, I was like, oh, yes. And he says, you know, I may be weak, but I have I'm the most powerful man in the world.
Like, oh, shit.
Yeah, that's good. William B. Davis was great, wasn't he? Again, it's great to see him back.
Yeah, I mean, again, we only saw him in two episodes, but he, as always, makes an impactful presence when he's there. So, and in his limited capability, you know, that he was there, and I thought he did great. And he's still living. Remember, he got away once again. This guy got away again. Nope, Miller didn't shoot the guy. He didn't do anything. He just, like, looked at him, took Mulder, and went back to Washington. But he's just sitting there chilling in South Carolina somewhere.
I was very happy they didn't kill him off. I kept thinking, they can't do that now. They've killed him too much now. You know, they can't keep killing him off again. Because besides which, why go to all the effort of bringing him back and doing quite a massive retcon, let's be honest. I mean, the fact they've managed to... They didn't even really try and explain how he was back from the dead. You know, they just put him in hospital under a lot of covers.
I'm just going to say it right now. Alien DNA.
That's the thing. Chris Carter doesn't even care enough to even say that. It's like, he's back. Just go with it. Just roll with it. It's fine.
You got to have the villain, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You got to have the villain. Yeah. And no matter... He's like Jason. He's like Freddy. No matter what you do, he's going to come back. So you got to have him.
But that's because he's more than just a character now. He's an icon. He's an iconic villain in TV history. So it's more than just having a character back. It's about having a symbol that is the X-Files almost as much as Mulder and Scully is. You know, I mean, they made a point of one of Scully's photos being Smoking Man from the pilot, you know, in that opening bit. You know, which was very telling, you know, to point out he's been here since the very, very beginning. And if this is the end, which this isn't going to be the end, I'm pretty certain, but if it is, then it's all full circle. But I thought that he was great, even though you've got to swallow a lot, really, to stomach him being back. He's great. The scene seems great.
And his Skeletor appearance was just fantastic. I was like, oh! Friends and I, we were all watching this. And we did the same motion at the same time, like, oh, God.
When he takes the mask off and shows Monica he was like, oh.
Whoa.
That's grim.
I see your nasal cavity. But it was great. I mean, and the line that Mulder says, I wish Scully was here to see what a true monster you really are. Yeah. Like, it just shows, like, yes, he is the epitome of evil. In the X-Files,
and he's not even trying to hide it now, which is what I like. You know, he's very much a case of I'm just going to let the world burn, and I'm going to bring this on, and it's been, you know, and I'm just going to enjoy it, and you know, I will miss you, Mulder. And it was interesting when I think it's Monica who says,
he loves him,
and you know, and that's the little allusion to the fact that he might be his father.
Yep.
They don't really bring that up in this, but it's that whole extra little layer of their relationship, which will never be anything other than hatred on Mulder's part, and
this pretty much
sinister sort of. I mean, he says, doesn't he, Smoking Man, my life has been, you gave my life a point. You know, to Mulder, which I thought was a really interesting thing to say, that Mulder has kept him going.
Isn't that what a father says to their child? Give me a reason to live.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like this, but in this way, it's kind of twisted.
Yeah.
You know, and like grotesque. Like, oh man, this is like messed up. This is like some like Roman tragedy stuff going on here. You know, it's crazy.
Well, it goes back to what he says in The Truth, doesn't he? Which I you know, I love the conversation they have in The Truth, because he says, you know, I now I can see you broken. Now you know the truth. And I love when he says that to Mulder, because he's just got this sadistic grin on his face, as if to say, all of this has been to watch that point when you realise that you can do nothing to stop any of this.
Right.
And it's a similar thing, you know. This whole thing
is the same thing. Yeah,
it's the same thing. You know, he's confident enough to say, you can't do anything about this now. You're going to die unless you take my deal. And it's always been that the Smoking Man's been offering Mulder deals all the way through the show. You know, he's always tried to tempt Mulder and to bring him over to his side. So that was, again, very, very much like the old series, like in Redux or in The Sixth Extinction, where he's, you know, he's offering Mulder things. And Mulder is just, will always turn around and go, no. I would rather
die. Although he did, but like Smoking Man said in this episode, every man has a weak point. The only time I think he's ever taken something from the Smoking Man was the cure for Scully.
That's true.
When she had her cancer. That's the only time he ever accepted something from him.
Yeah.
Or, you know, took it.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting, because he said it right there. He said, every man has his weakness, when he mentioned Scully, you know? So.
Yeah, it's true.
It was short, but, you know, It was really good to see that their interaction again, because that's, you know, the two forces. I mean, that's the good versus evil. So it was really great. It was really great to see that.
It felt like old times for me as well. Yeah. It was like, well, you know, the show has evolved. You know, the show has changed in some respects to be what it is now. But this is the same kind of conversation they would have had at the end of season 7 or season 8, or, you know, if it had gone that way. It was just, this is like the old show, and I loved that. I was just there like, this is great, just a Smoking Man just enjoying wrapping mold around his finger. I was like,
right,
you know, it's like old times, really.
I mean, you know, even though, like we said, despite the fact that, you know, Mulder had such a small role in this episode, having him in that scene was vital, and it made it worthwhile, you know, because we had to get that. We had to have that there. And Mulder is the only one that can have that that scene with him. You know what I mean? Those moments with him.
Don't you kind of wish that Monica would have been there, though, at that point? And then Mulder's like, what are you doing here?
I don't know. Maybe he would have probably just shot himself, probably, because that's what I wanted to do at that point. But it is interesting that he doesn't know that. He still is unaware about her role in it and stuff. So if we do go to the season 11, it'll be interesting if at some point, you know, Scully reveals that to him, that, you know, guess who was with him? Guess who was with Smoking Man all this time? This bitch, you know?
Exactly. This is the thing, you know, if anything, they've made Reyes into the new Diana Fowley. You know, which is a really interesting way to go with that.
I gotta say something. You know, my friends and I, again, my two good friends that was watching this last night, they hate Monica. they hate Monica. My one friend that I've been friends with, you know, in college, that we became friends because of X-Files, she hated her when she got first introduced. And my other friend, who I introduced X-Files to last year and got her to the point where she watched everything before the new season started, she hated Monica. And I was like, I like Monica. I really like Monica, you know? And I was like, when she made that phone call before the commercial, and it's like, you know, meet with me or whatever, and they're like, that better not be Monica. I'm like, yeah, it's Monica. She's going to be there. And then when the reveal happens of what she did, I'm like, no, not Monica. Because I actually liked her. I wasn't a fan of Doggett, but I was actually a fan of Reyes. And I don't know. It's just, That was really, like, that was a bummer. It was a real bummer.
It's like I said in the last episode, I don't believe it for one second. You know, I don't.
Yeah.
It's a twist too far, really. I've got to say, that though, you going back to that phone call, was it just me, or was it really weird that Scully didn't recognise her voice? Because, I know it's been, like, maybe 10 years since they've spoken, but she worked closely with Monica Reyes for a long time. And it's like, well, you surely would recognize her. You know, in the normal world, you'd go,
that long, Scully. Come on now.
Like, you know, it's like, who is this? who we all blatantly know it's Monica because you can tell her in an Annabeth-ish voice.
And it's, right, right.
I just felt like, oh, come like, on.
It's Monica. Cut it out. Yeah. All right? Like, yeah. Come on. Like, I was waiting for her to say Monica and then, like, yeah. You know, commercial. I was like, no. I'm like, come on, Scully. Yeah. You gotta be kidding me.
You mean you've traveled all that way not knowing who this is, even though it's blatantly right. Somebody you worked with for like a year and a half. I was like, right. Yeah, that was the script writing trying to make more tension than there was. But
yeah, that needed to be.
The other thing that made me laugh was, and this, to be fair, this can actually be explained in the context of the show, but I did laugh when Miller finds Mulder through a phone finder app on the computer. Because right. I thought that was really easy, you know. But then I thought, well, actually, we've seen throughout this episode that Mulder and Scully aren't particularly tech savvy. You know,
right?
So it kind of, I can kind of believe that Scully may not think of doing that.
May not have thought of doing that. Yeah,
and she's busy and everything.
I mean, she's a bit more. I would think she was a bit more tech savvy than Mulder was.
Well, yeah,
and he's the one that was living out in the woods somewhere. You know, she was still in the world. You know what I mean? But yeah, I'll buy that. I'll buy that.
Just about. It just made me laugh.
That would have been the first thing to come to their head, you know?
Yeah.
Although they used to trace calls left and right back in the day, so yeah. I don't even understand. They used to trace phones, too, back in the day. Yeah. I don't even understand how she didn't think of doing that, you know?
Exactly.
Going to the FBI and be like, hey, guys, here's Mulder's number. Can you trace a cell phone? You did it before. Like,
yeah.
Whatever.
Just get
whatever.
Danny
suspension
onto it.
Suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, exactly. It's just little things that sometimes make me laugh, though, you know, in the way they plot. Yeah, it's like, oh, that's really easy that Miller just finds an app and goes, click that. Oh, there's Mulder.
Oh, look, it's just conveniently right there. It's like the only bright colored app on the desktop.
I did chuckle at that.
And it actually, you could see it earlier when she goes to watch the Tad O'Malley, because I noticed it.
Yeah.
You know, I noticed it when she was watching the video when she first gets to the office.
Mm.
And then later when he's like, oh, let me see what's on the computer. Oh, look at this bright yellow thing here that says, find my phone. It's like, oh, man, come on now. But we'll just go with it.
There was a finish as well, as we talk about how then Mulder obviously is taken to on the bridge and you get the whole cliffhanger and the ending and the UFO and everything. And there was an interesting question asked Chris Carter in the interview I mentioned that he does with TV Line, which was, Scully obviously is immune to the Spartan virus because she was abducted, you know, years ago, and you know, it's pretty much said to her by Reyes, you were abducted, this was done to you then as part of all that, which, you know, there's always been a million things that were done to Scully, you know, in that one abduction. Cancer, chill, pregnancy. but anyway, they got a lot done in that short space of time. But the question was, well, Mulder was abducted too. So why isn't he immune? And Chris Carter actually said, that's actually a really interesting question that deserves answering. That was his words. Now, the reality is, I don't think he's thought of that answer yet. But if you think about it, if that does actually play in, I think it's because if Scully was abducted by men, and I think Mulder was abducted by actual proper aliens.
Aliens, yes.
And I think that's the difference, really.
Yes, I think so too. Because I think my mother actually today, she was like, I didn't like that last episode or whatever, but she mentioned that to me too. She was like, wasn't he abducted? And I'm like, yeah, he was. I was like, he disappeared once. And I was like, that's right. He was abducted. Because then that's what happened. This is not happening.
Yeah, he was dead.
And he was dead.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could see that would be the reason why he doesn't have this DNA in him, is because he didn't get abducted by the conspiracy. He got abducted by actual freaking aliens.
The actual, because you see him on their ship, don't you? You know, Brian Thompson, the bounty hunter, and he's all, you know, they all appear around where he is, and he got the proper abduction treatment, you know, and it's like, obviously he was going to be turned into a super soldier, wasn't he, and everything. And that's another thing. I'm kind of disappointed we didn't see any super soldiers, because much as they were, you know, hit and miss in a lot of people's eyes, they were a really very important part of this whole thing. You know, they were in the FBI, and, you know, with Alan Dale as the Toothpick Man and all this. And it was like, well, where did they all go? I know. I'm a bit sad we didn't see those guys.
I secretly, this is just my personal thing, and my other fandom creeping back into the X-Files, is I kind of hope they bring back Lucy Lawless as the super soldier. I was kind of hoping, like, that's always been, like, I did, one time, I used to do a lot of, like, fan art competitions online back in the day, and I did one where it was, like, you know, create the season 10 box set, like, create the artwork for it. And I had, you know, and I created, like, the whole names of the episodes and stuff like that. And I had a thing where, like, the new episodes, the first two episodes of the new season would have been, you know, Lucy Lawless, a super soldier character, coming back and, like, finding Scully and be like, listen, you know, they found Mulder. I mean, they found William. We have to go get him. Like, they know where he is. And, you know, she would have been taking them to try to go, helping them try to go recover William and stuff like that. That was always, like, my own
little fancy thing. That's a cool idea.
If they want to bring back the idea of the super soldier, like, she's still around.
Yeah.
And she lived. At the end of that episode. So she can always come back and be, like, you know, on their side to try to help them, you know, with whatever the hell is going to happen.
I could go with that.
And I don't even know.
Funnily enough, I did, and this is something that I was thinking of actually doing on the X-Cast at some point, but I did my own scripted six-part finale to the X-Files about 3 years ago.
Really?
Three or four. Yeah, I called it Fight the Truth. And it's... It's a scripted series, six scripts, and it tells a final story set after I Want to Believe. And Shannon McMahon, who is the Lucy Lawless character, she does appear, and she does actually help them. So it's interesting. We're on similar lines there.
Come on, let's do this. Let's do this, Tony.
I'll send you those scripts, actually, so you can have a read.
I would love to read that. That is fascinating. Because, you know, that I think every X-Files fan had that idea of how would you make your season 10, you know? And that was one of the things. I was like, you know, I would love to see her because she was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and the idea of, you know, who she was and stuff, like, she joined this program, but she was like, I don't want any part of this. I have to stop it, you know? And she was helping Scully then, you know, protect her and stuff like that. And, you know, and I had also hoped that she would have shown up at the end of the season of season 9 fight. No Roar or something again. So,
there's so many people you could bring back, you know, and it's interesting you mention her about how, and one thing we haven't talked about, and we'll finish this episode by talking about, is the reveal at the very end, which they squeeze in just at the end, that maybe the way to save Mulder is by finding William.
That's the other thing. Like, what? Now we got to go find William?
Well, there's your season 11 overarching mythology plot, really. And this is why I'm convinced that they've already been talking about this, and they reckon they're going to come back, because they've ended it very much teeing up. The whole season has been suggesting that we're going to see William at some point, and obviously this episode,
they mentioned him so many times.
Episode doesn't do it, but then at the point I was thinking, they've really not mentioned William. Suddenly we get a whopping great, well, we need to go and find William, which is what he's been building towards. So
right.
You know, but it was so squeezed in at the end. I was like, you just got that in there. Just.
Just, like, right there. Yeah. Like, damn it. I know. But, you know, I imagine, this is just my thinking. I don't know if you agree with me. I imagine Chris shot different endings.
Possibly, yeah.
And, you know, as they were seeing how everything was going, I feel like they decided, okay, if it looks like we're going to get, you know, Fox on our side to do this next season, this is the ending we're going to do. I'm curious to see what the other ending was.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
I have to believe that he actually did more than one ending. Because, I mean, I know he had the support and stuff from the beginning and stuff, but I'm sure he was not sure how this was going to turn out.
It makes you wonder.
Like, completely convinced. I'm sure he knew the fans were going to be there, but I'm sure he wasn't sure whether, especially with the semi-tumultuous relationship he had with Fox in the past, I'm sure he was not really sure if he was going to get more, or at least convince them to do more. Mm. You know, at least convince Fox, like, okay, we can, this is something viable. So I'm curious to know, and I'm surprised they didn't ask him, did you have another ending?
Like, did you have
an ending? to, you know, that if, okay, if this is it, like, if this is really the end, like, how that would have ended as compared to this.
Well, we may get that on the Blu-ray, possibly, which is out in June, I believe. It's, he's in the UK anyway. More than likely, he's out earlier in the US.
Oh, already? Okay.
Yeah, it's on Amazon with a potential release date, but it probably is earlier in the States. But yeah, I think we'll see then. But before we go, we've got a little bit of listener feedback. Our friend Zach Moore from the Always Hold On to Smallville podcast has messaged in with some thoughts. He simply said, very unsatisfying conclusion. A worldwide epidemic never felt more boring. Retcon,
oh, I read that. Yeah.
Retcon with the cigarette smoking man disappointing, wasn't worth bringing him back. And he says, please, no more Miller and Einstein. Not enough Mulder and no William after all that talk. Psh! Obviously, there is a little bit of talk about William, but not seeing William. So right. Zach wasn't particularly happy with this one. And the similar sentiments for our mate Andrew Brooker, who obviously did the previous four looks at the show, the new season. His response was, bah! Not as bad as the previous episode, but pretty bland. Messy, incoherent, with an awful cliffhanger, not a happy chappy. And he says, can I go back to the time where I was just disappointed not to see the peacocks? And he's talking about Home again.
Yeah,
he's convinced that, you know, that was going to be a sequel to Home. I think this is the thing. I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed. I don't think it was a bad way to end it, given how rushed it was. I think they did what they could, and I think they wrapped it up, in terms of a cliffhanger anyway, in a way that crucially makes you want more. And I think it did its job. Like My Struggle, Foot One, it did its job.
Right. I agree. I thought, we'll talk about it more, but like I mentioned before, if the episode would have been 2 hours, I think it would have felt better at the end. I think everybody would have felt better at the end. Because, like I said, I changed my name on Twitter, Destroyed X-Filer, because I was devastated. And I agree with the what one of the people said, that it was rushed and, you know, everything was just too much. And it was. I think it was just a lot to absorb in too short of a time, and then to end it like that on such a huge, not even like a little cliffhanger. This was huge.
Yeah.
I think this was about as big as the one where Mulder was stuck in the train car and they blew it up. I think this is about as big and as devastating of a cliffhanger as that one was.
Definitely.
But the only difference is that we definitely knew there was going to be a season 4 back then. This, we kind of know there's going to be a season 11, but it's not, it has not been said officially, you know what I mean?
We're hoping. We're still in the hoping stage.
We're still hoping.
Omens are good.
We're trying to believe.
Yeah, we want to believe, We're gonna wrap up now. We're gonna finish with a look at the season as a whole next time. So you'll be back for one last shout, Tanya. So thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much. Again, like I said, you are my therapist right now.
No pressure on me there. But okay, well, we'll be back tomorrow for our last season 10 coverage episode. So until then, remember, trust no one.